Anybody who reads this, even if you are not in that particular church, pay attention to what he's saying. That is, he writes something to the church in Ephesus. He says, who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to all the churches. So it's not only those in Ephesus that should read this. Everybody else, pay attention to it. Know the kind of things that upset him. Know the kind of things that he doesn't like. Are you getting my point? And know the way he responds to those things. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to all the churches. But my emphasis, like I said to you, let's continue reading, is that he kept on saying, I know. Go to verse 12. He said, to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell. Notice that. And he describes the things that are going on with them. Then he tells them in verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna and all of that. Then he goes down to verse 18. To the angel in the church in Thyatira, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than that at the first. Then he tells them what he has against them. Again, we will not go through all of that in details. I just want to continue reading, just to bring out the issue. If you go down again, chapter 3, in verse 1, to the church in Sardis, the one who has the seven spirits of God, he says this, I know your deeds. And you will see what he continues to say, all right? I'm looking for one of those things. When he warns them, 2:5, yes. He said, therefore, remember from where you have fallen. That's the first one. Let's just get back there to that first one, to the church in Ephesus. He started by explaining something. Remember, we said, this is what he's saying to all the churches. He said, I know your deeds, I'm back to verse 2, and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And these are the things that you have done. Verse 4 says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent. And do the deeds you did at first, or else, that's where I was going, I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. The Lord is good. Now, I started by explaining something to us, and I've said it again and again here, that it is crucial for Christians to please remove that doctrine from their minds that gives the impression as if God only knows how to add what we call blessings to us. Are you getting my point here? He only gives to us more children, gives us husbands, gives us wives, gives us prosperity, gives us money, gives us the things that people believe are blessings in life. And they imagine that he never does anything differently. And if anything differently comes into our lives, it is because of the devil. At the risk of repeating myself too many times, I will say it again. The devil himself doesn't have any power to do any of those things. He has only a few powers. One of them is to tempt. Another one is to deceive. It is only when we fall for those things, is temptations and deceptions, that he gains the power of death over us. Some people say it's only the devil that kills. The thief comes not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And it's giving the impression that only the devil can do that. Let me say to you again, that is not totally balanced teaching. Because as a matter of fact, Jesus said, don't fear him that can kill the flesh only, but fear him that can kill the flesh and afterwards look, and he was talking about God. He was talking about Jesus himself, because as a judge, because he said, the Father judges no man, but he has committed all judgment to the Son. Bear that thing in mind. We must bear it in mind. Because sometimes Christians live carelessly. Now, why did I read all of this that I read? Because I wanted to point out the fact that I kept on saying, I know. I know. Are you getting my point? I know. That is, how do you behave in church? I know. I am watching you. How you behave at home? I am watching you. I'm aware of it. And I'm going to emphasize to us that he may be patient, but eventually he judges even his own children. Even though it is for discipline. It is not out of hatred. It is for correction. But even that discipline, Peter said, it does not seem good when it is going on. That's what I'm talking about. This, I know. Sometimes, and listen to this. Many times, you've heard it before, they will tell you that Turkey used to be a Christian country. I read an article, I don't want to waste time now, somebody sent it, I got it yesterday. And a man wrote an article and described what David Pawson preached long ago. David Pawson preached that he had the revelation that UK is going to become an Islamic country. He said this is nothing less than 10, 15 years ago. Now, things were not the way they are right now. So he wasn't speaking just from observation, even though things were beginning to happen. But he said that thing came upon him one day, and he came to the conclusion that the Lord was revealing to him that one day United Kingdom is going to become an Islamic country. Now, this is what I'm thinking. I am not saying this is what's going to happen. I suspect that just like we talk about the Jews, that God's judgment was not against them alone, or just God's promises were not for them alone. I am convinced that judgment that David Pawson prophesied was not for UK alone. It is just that being a British man, that was the one that concerned him, so God gave him that revelation. I believe that they are going to be far behind the rest of Europe in being Islamized. This is my own thinking. I suspect that they will come, that this Brexit, now this is suspicion, I'm not saying God said to me, just by observing, that this Brexit that is going on right now is God's way of separating them from the rest of Europe while he takes care of them first and gives them another chance, gives Europe, UK another chance to do the work you did at first. It's like saying, for old time's sake, for producing men like, is it Andrew Murray? Andrew Murray, was he from there? Okay, I don't know. But then people like Charles Spurgeon, for producing people like Smith Wigglesworth, for producing all those people that did a lot of evangelism, especially in Africa, I will give you another chance. That is what I think. But what I'm talking about is that people will tell you that Turkey was a Christian country. And they talk about it as if Christians are supposed to therefore gather themselves together and arrange themselves politically so that what happened in Turkey will not happen in Nigeria. They will tell you that, look, Turkey is coming to Nigeria now to come and set up Turkish schools. That does not bother me. As an individual, it doesn't bother me. If Turkey said they want to set up a Turkish school in Nigeria, I will let them come. I will give them land in Enugu. Don't forget, whether it's Turkish school or whatever it is, they will be subject to what? National Nigeria Universities Commission. Nigeria Universities Commission, you know, there are rules you will make, NUC will say no. For example, if you like, set up a Turkish school in Enugu. If you say we can't have campus fellowship, we will protest to NUC. I don't know whether you are getting my point here. By the time we are done, all your missionaries will be converted to Christianity. They will speak in tongues, but we let them go. All our boys will marry all your daughters. They will use Holy Spirit to chase them. The girls will agree. You will by yourself come and close the shop and say, we are not doing it again. The purpose is not being served. We thought we are going to Islamize you people. You people are Christianizing us. That is my thinking. You know why I'm talking like this? Because I realize that these things are not physically determined. These things are spiritually determined. They are not determined by political arrangements. As it stands right now, the analysis I was reading today, it is not possible. Europe cannot. In fact, the person was yesterday. He was reading the statement made by Theresa May after the last attacks, the bridge attacks that happened. And he was saying that you can never come and spoil our values, our value of accepting diversity. The person laughed, said nobody dies for diversity. That diversity is not a value that people die for. People die for their faith. People you are fighting are ready to die for their faith. They are multiplying in great numbers. Your church age is aging. Your church goers are getting old. These are young people. Yes, we agree that most of them are not going to be fundamentalists, but a small proportion of them will be. The ones that are not even fundamentalists are committed to their faith. And then one day, and these are the young men that are going to grow up in your society, that a time will come, you will not be able to tell which allegiance your soldiers have, whether it is to the nation or to their religion. But you won't be able to do anything. But by that time, they will have made up maybe a quarter of your fighting force. They are half of your soldiers because they are the ones that grew up in your country. They are your citizens. As I was doing the analysis yesterday, I said what the person said is already happening. He said that the odds are in favor of Islam. That's what he wrote. Now, so I'm reading out something here. So people see all of these things, and it doesn't bother me. You know why it doesn't bother me? Because I said Jesus warned about it. Jesus warned about it. The man writing said he went to a church, he went to a mosque in UK, and he was surprised, is this a mosque or a church? It was like a church. But they said I should come to a mosque. And when he got there, I found out, oh, actually it was a church. It was bought over. And that at least, maybe in the last, I need to find it. Let me find that thing. It's very important. He was given information that in the last how many years, let me see whether I can find the place. Just give me a second. Don't take a long time. Yes. He said, in all of England, 10,000 churches have closed since 1960. 500 London churches have closed since 2001. Many of those churches were bought and converted to mosques. What was he trying to explain to us? That no matter what you do, as things are right now, Europe should forget it, UK should forget it, they're going to become Islamic. My own preaching is that how did it become like that? That's the message I'm preaching. They said Turkey used to be a Christian country. So they want us Christians to gather in Nigeria so that we would arrange politically. And it makes me laugh. Politics can't solve it. I'm not even going to get involved with anybody who's trying to give me the impression that it is politics that solves this problem. It is not politics. It is when the judgment of God has been released, he cleanses the place and replaces them with something else. That's what happens. When they talk about Turkey, I say, why are you making mess about Turkey? It's not politics that took Turkey, caused Turkey's problems. It's that Jesus warned them, you are not doing the work you did at first. If you don't return to your first love, if you don't return and do the work you did at first, I will by myself come and remove your candlestick from where it was. And remember, that candlestick represented the church in that place. I will close your church down. Muslims will buy your buildings, all these fine, fine buildings you are building. I hope you know God doesn't, is not impressed with buildings. I hope you know it's not impressed with buildings. No, if you like, spend $100 million and build a cathedral in Nigeria, God is not impressed. If he's angry, he can destroy it in one day. Yes. Even when he's not angry, he doesn't come there especially. He won't say, this church is so nice, let me go and attend service. No, he literally doesn't give a hoot, doesn't care. In fact, I am persuaded that most Pentecostal church cathedrals today, he doesn't like them, and one day he's going to destroy all of them. Yes. Why? He has seen the way they raise money to build them. And God will never bless things like that. If you lie in his name, let it be 100 years. He's going to judge that thing. My message to you today is that Jesus is actually the judge of the church. Not just the judge of the earth. And judgment begins in his house. And we read those verses to show again and again that he knows. He will say, I know. I know your deeds. I have seen your faith. I have seen your suffering. I have seen what you call prosperity. When you don't know, you are blind. You are poor. You are poverty stricken. You are wretched. You are naked. I'm watching you driving your flashy cars up and down. I'm just looking at you. My emphasis for today is that he said, I know. I watch all of you. I'm watching you closely. And Peter said, listen, before I tell you what Peter said, people have said that if you see a sin in society, there are two sides to it, all right? Normally, that sin is reflected in the church. That is one. But the second side is this. This is what I say. The way the sin in society will go away is only if the church cures itself of that same sin. Let me give you an example. You hear Nnamdi Kanu shouting, Biafra, Biafra, cut Biafra. He doesn't even know the map of Biafra. He too is confused because you are causing a lot of problems by some people are getting angry that you are including me in Biafra thing. Some people are very, very angry. Then he gets up. Then some people decide and say, what nonsense? We are on his rundown. Just to show that they are not part of the Nnamdi Kanu's map. They are rundown. Region of the Delta. Then some get up and say, we are Arewa boys. I don't want anybody that's from Rundown or Biafra to get out. October 1. You see all of that? You know, it doesn't, those things don't worry me. People have gotten disturbed. You know, many of you know me, it doesn't disturb me. I add it to prayer, but I'm not going to be disturbed. I will sleep as well as I used to sleep. Now, what am I talking about it? See all that noise? It will quieten in one day. If inside the church, we stop that noise too. That's what I'm talking about. The noise that's loudest in heaven is not the one made by Arewa, Distin, and Nnamdi Kanu, and Rundown, and OPC. Because some people even said their own to the other. They know it's not OPC, but some people said their own. Everybody is uttering their own statement. But you see, what I'm trying to emphasize to us is this. All the noise outside is not a problem. Listen, sometimes they talk about racism in America. Blacks versus whites. And they make it look like it's a problem of America. It is not a problem of the United States. It's a problem of the church in the United States. Once my wife and I went for we had a meeting in the USA conference, our alumni fellowship there. That was about 3 years ago. So I promised them I would come. So I went with my wife. And our brother who hosted us went to their church on Sunday. We were just asking about the church, and he told us about it. He said, they used to have a white pastor. At that time, the church was, I think, 70 or 80% white. He said, about 2 years ago or so, we got a black pastor. That the church is now 50% black. Why? Because majority of the whites left. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Because majority of the whites left. Why did they leave? The church got a black pastor. They couldn't stand it, so they left. The problem in America is not the average man on the street. Listen, the average man on the street should do what the average man on the street would do. He's an unbeliever. The problem God has is what with who? The church. Bear it in mind. So when you hear tribalism outside, it doesn't trouble God. He said, I can solve that one in one day. It's not the problem. I just need to hang a few people and everybody will learn a lesson. Are you getting my point? But you see, I can't do that if that problem exists inside the church. But that is not my main message. My main message is that he gives a warning and he comes to judge. Corruption. PDP, APC, governor, stealing money. God said, that's not my problem. My problem is you pastors that lie with my money, my name. That is the problem I have. It is those of you are supposed to be the foundation and the pillar of truth that now get up and preach messages with the size of the offering required in mind. One man was bragging one day, say, I asked that pastor, how much do you need? He told him, say, I will get it for you. Then what will be getting for you? He will take the word and preach it until he gets the money. Not through the operation of the spirit, but manipulating people that are listening to him. And he's bragging about it. God said, that's the one I have as a problem. But again, that's not my main message. My message is what? I know. And then he has given a warning that I'm coming to judge it. So this is the statement I wanted to make. One day, you will see churches closed down. Big denominations. Don't be alarmed. What did I say?
Don't be alarmed.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Say it again.
Don't be alarmed.
I will not give you details on why problems will come, but don't be alarmed. When it happens, it is not the Islamists. It's not the devil. It is that God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of his church, says, I'm tired. Close that church. And it will close. You are going to see one young pastor suddenly go away with a quarter of the congregation. Don't be angry with him. God closed the main church and left a remnant in the boy's hand. And he wants the boy. Your own. I waited for your guy for 15 years to repent. He did not. Your own, I'm giving you 5 months. These 15 years, I don't have that 15 years again. Your own is repentance in 5 months. If you suddenly become a big bishop, really important. Second service, you are already taking big offering to change your Jeep. I will close you down so fast, you wouldn't believe I tolerated this thing in your main church for 15 years. Mark my words. I'm not joking about it. Because I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not even talking about us alone. I want us to know that Jesus watches. He said, I know. Now, go to chapter 2, verse 8. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze says this, I know your deeds and your love and your faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Verse 21 is what I want. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. This is a Christian, no? This is a church. He said, behold, Satan will come and afflict her on the bed of sickness. Was that what he said? What did he say? He said, behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness. And those who commit adultery with her, I will throw them into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one according to your deeds. Did you see that? Listen, let nobody deceive you that God is not watching what we are doing. It's just that by the time, you know, this particular scripture is from Jeremiah. I, the Lord, I test the heart, I set the mind before I recompense people according to their deeds. He watches what we do. And please, let nobody tell me that only the devil does bad things. You have seen the Lord Jesus himself open his mouth and say, I will kill her children with pestilence. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I give to each one of you according to your deeds. I want to introduce Jesus, who is the judge of even his own church. That's my message for this evening. You know, all the way we mock him for a very long time. You know what he's saying? I know. What have I been doing? I've just been patient, hoping that you pastors will stop twisting my word for money. I have just been patient, hoping that you pastors will stop all this chasing church girls. Oh, some pastors do it. He said, but the day I'm going to answer, and that's what I'm talking about, let nobody come and say it is the devil or it is persecution. I gave an example the other day. There was a time that a Muslim was attacking the banks owned by pastors in Nigeria. Remember this time of Intercontinental and Oceanic Bank? You know, a lot of people were making noise. They are taking our banks. I was one person that said, shut your mouth. Jesus is the ruler. Nobody can take his bank. But banks don't impress him. If your banks do not reflect what he reflects, he closes you down. Yeah. One of those men, years before, one of my friends was a senior manager in the bank. And you know what he used to do? He used to laugh. He said, my boss is a criminal. He used to laugh. One day I went to see him, we're talking. He was a senior manager in the bank. He would laugh. He said, my guy is a thief. He said, one day he's going to prison. Those were his words. I didn't know the boy was prophesying. God forgive me. So one day God said, I'm tired. One day somebody reported to me, one of those banks, that senior managers were sleeping with married women so as to help them get promotion. And who told you that God will watch this forever? So one day God got tired. Now, you know what? If Analaji had been the MD of those banks, he would not have said anything. I've been saying it for a very long time. If you like, spend $100 million a month funding the gospel. If you're a liar in yourself, you are closer to judgment by that. Because you know what is true and you are still lying. It would have been better if you just did not spend your money on the gospel. So God won't, in quote, will not know whether you know or you don't know. My message to you today is that he knows. He knows. And I want you to know that let's not pretend like he will not come and judge. Because if he does not start with his church, there is nothing he can do with the world. Take this message to all the pastors in town and everywhere. I think they should listen to it. He knows. He sees when we sit behind. We tell church people to do one thing, we do another. He knows. He knows when men will sit down behind in the office and say, how much are we looking for? And they say, 10 million. Who can raise it? So Kemote is good with this. Call Kemote. So Kemote shows up. He knows how to manipulate the congregation. Then when he's leaving, I give him 30%. I told my wife, if you love yourself and your children, make sure I don't do such things. If I start, call my brethren who can talk to me. Remember this book, Our Husbands Have Gone Mad Again. Just call them and say, brethren, please read that book because my husband has gone mad. Do you know why? Because he knows. Tell your neighbor he knows.
He knows.
He's actively watching. Oh God, I pray we can get this point. He's actively watching. And every deed we are committing in twisting his word and misrepresenting him, he will judge it. We can't pay him off. There's only one thing he asks for, is what? Repentance. He said, I've given her time to repent. He gives time to repent. So many times when we are continuing what we are doing that is not right according to his word, it does not mean they are right. It is because of his time that he has given for us to repent. But believe me, he knows. And then a day comes that the time he has given, the frame of time he has given for repentance elapses. Then he comes back and he comes down and he starts judging. His judgment is not anger. What I mean by anger is that these are his children. This is the church. He's not here. He cannot remove his loving kindness from them, but he must judge their iniquity if he's going to save them ultimately. He has to. So you are going to see a big congregation fragment into 2,500 pieces, like Americans would say. Don't be angry. It's not the devil. It is the Lord who knows. I hope you are getting my point here.
Yes, sir.
It is the Lord who knows. And look, I'm going to continue. Like I said, I'm going to talk about Jesus as judge. Remove this idea that he smiles from your face. He does not. He is principled. He is disciplined. The only reason why people misjudge him is that he's patient. That's why we misjudge him. We misjudge him only because of his patience. That's why he's misjudged. That's why we'll continue what we are doing. Sometimes my wife and I will be talking. My wife will say, don't these people fear God? The other day, one of our sisters here traveled to go and do a business with a particular church, and the bishop of the church sat high in his car and was toasting. You know what they call toasting a woman? You know what they call to toast a woman? If you know, say you know now. Because, it's not good to ask. They will not think that the girl is bread and they have, protein. It's true now. And he was toasting the woman there. That's not the problem. It was like, oh, God, I finished your work. Please pay me. He said, sit down. Now, toast start. Now, this toast is not my problem. My problem was that his personal assistant, his driver, and he had a security detail, were there, and they were hearing, and he did not care. Are you getting my point? That is the gist about it. His driver was there. His security, they were sitting, in a big car. It was not an American stretched limo that has a glass to divide the front from the back.
Yeah.
No. He was at the back, told the young wife, please come in, let's talk, I'm rushing somewhere. And was, the toasting machine was getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And what was embarrassing the young woman was that, is he aware that this, and he's a married man, the papa of a big church, and his driver was there, and the security detail was there sitting in front. There were four in the vehicle. In my mind's eye down, seeing Jesus standing on the bonnet, looking at everybody. He stand on the bonnet looking at everybody, saying, I know. You know why I have not removed your head, Pastor, Bishop? It's called time to repent. When I'm going to collect you, your security man, who obviously is in the game. Yes. The kind of things that people do, sometimes my wife would just shake her head. They said, don't people fear God? Don't they fear God? Let me end today's message with that issue of the fear of God. Please, the fear of God means to fear God. To fear God means to be afraid. It does not mean reverence. Christians say that it means reverence. We worship the Lord, we reverence His name. Ask people, what's the meaning of reverence? They don't know. But Jesus always used to give definition for what he talks about. He said, if a man loves me, he will give me a hug and a kiss when I'm passing and give me an offering. The Lord said it clearly. It is not decorating your wall with my photo or wearing a cross around your neck. If a man loves me, what will he do? He will keep my word. So this reverence we teach, I don't know what it means. So they say it's not fear. You don't fear God the way you fear a rattlesnake. Well, the only difference, in my own opinion, you should fear God the way you fear a rattlesnake. The only difference is that you know when this your own rattlesnake will bite. He gives you warning. He doesn't spring on you. He doesn't bite you because he wants to kill you. He bites you to discipline you. But as for the fear, please, it is better you fear him like you fear a rattlesnake. Listen, to fear God, God is not looking for how to punish you. I agree. That's not what he's looking for. He's just saying that bear it in mind that if you give me occasion to do it, I'm not afraid to do it. I've done it before. Really, that concept of the fear of God, when we started teaching righteousness, we didn't know how to balance it. One of the ways God has helped me to balance it, I taught this morning. One of the ways God has helped me to balance it is by giving me the experience as a father. That is an earthly father. I have children. I don't mean spiritual father now, physical father. I have seen that it is possible for your children to love you and fear you at the same time. I've seen that. The example I still gave this morning is that my children, I traveled yesterday. Like I told you, I just came back before preaching. We parked here at 5:02, driving straight from Benin, okay? When we're going to travel, my children will protest. Where are you going again? Because last week I was away for a whole week in Sokoto. Like, where are you going again? Where are you going? They don't want you to go. When you arrive back home, they rush you. They're excited to give you a hug. But let them offend, and then you threaten to go and tell me. One day, my daughter did something. My wife said, let's go and see your daddy. She started crying. I had not said anything. No. I had not even heard. She started crying. Why? It is possible to love somebody and fear him at the same time. It's possible. It's very possible. You can love God and reverence him all you want to reverence him. You can stand in awe of him. That's your problem. But while you are doing that, please remember to do what? Fear him. You should. Why do you fear him? Because he punishes people. I don't believe a word of that doctrine that God does not punish his children. I don't know where we got that from. Sometimes he recruits Satan. Say, devil, are you busy? Devil say, I'm game anytime. Say, go to that church, scatter them for me. Say, thank you. All the casting out is my vengeance time. You just say, don't kill anybody. Satan, I shouldn't kill anybody. All right. But I feel injured and small. He said, how do you know? Paul said we can deliver somebody over to the devil, over to Satan, for the destruction of his flesh. Oh, that's what happens. Sometimes God will just call the devil. Are you, your hands full? Guy said, no. There's a church down there. Describe the church. Go and scatter them for me. The angels will say, why? Say, have you not been going to service for the last 2 years? Every Sunday, they're always misquoting me. As I was coming this morning, God said, the angel said, we used to wonder, did you ever talk to them behind our backs? I said, no. God will say, you are the angel of the church. I sent you to be guarding them. Did I ever send you with that word? Lie. I thought maybe you spoke through the Holy Spirit. I said, no. It is a covetous spirit that has been speaking to them. The adulterous spirit has been speaking to them. I waited for these busy years for them to repent. They did not. So I've recruited somebody, scattered them for me. In 1 month, things will just start happening. Roof can even collapse. The Lord does these things. He does. He can make a pastor and his wife start fighting each other. He doesn't like it. He told the devil, scatter the place for me. The devil said, this is the best way to scatter them. I have to scatter. Is it not you that says, strike the shepherd? So the devil will tell the Lord, the only thing I can do now is to strike this shepherd. But I said, don't kill him. I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to make his wife stab him. I told you I was going to injure him small. Then the church will divide two ways. Half on pastor's side, the other half on his wife's side. And that's it. Then the whole church is now divided. After a while, nobody will come again. Tithes will not come. Offering will not come. Staff will not get paid. People will resign. Then God will plant one firebrand preacher down the line. As that one is preaching, people are saying, are you still going to that church? Come and see anointing. It is God directing everybody. All of them will go there. After 2 years, you hear that pastor has retired. No, he has gotten a job with NMPC. And then after the church has closed, he and his wife will reconcile. And the church is closed permanently. What happened? Jesus just took his candle. The candlestick he removed out of the place. My message today is what? he knows. And he's the judge. The judgment he gives to his church is for correction. It's not hatred. His loving kindness he can never remove. But we need to fear him. Why do I keep giving example, pastor? Because you see, the problem of God is always the problem of leaders. They are the ones that mislead people. But even though the pastors mislead the congregation, every individual, I want you to know, in your house, he also knows. He knows. How you handle your money, he knows. How you say it is well outside, but inside, you don't forget pastor, the way they talk. This country, we will divide it. He knows. The one you say it is well outside, I say, forget this, they are preaching outside. As for me, I must quickly make find security for my children. When they're outside, they say, no, we don't take thought for the money. Listen to me, he knows. My message today is that he does not only know, one day he will also come to judge if people don't repent. Let's bow our heads to pray. Let's give the Lord thanks for truth that liberates. Can we just lift our two hands and just say, Father, we thank you. Just give him thanks. Let's give him thanks because of his goodness. Now I declare to you that in the name of Jesus, goodness will go with you.
Amen.
His mercy will go with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God's favor will surround you like a shield.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The favor of God will surround you like a shield.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Remember, Peter was not going to sink because of the waves or the storm. He was going to sink because he doubted. Today, I rebuke doubt out of your life in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The spirit of faith, receive it right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the midst of your confusion, the midst of the things happening around, remember, faith will keep you steady.
Amen.
Faith will keep you floating.
Amen.
Things may look rough, but you will not go down.
Amen.
It's important you bear that in mind. Whatever you are going through that looks rough right now, this is the word of the Lord. You will not go down.
Amen.
I said you will not go down.
Amen.
David used the word, I will not be utterly cast down. Yes. That is, things look rough. He will stumble sometimes. But it says he will not be utterly cast down.
Amen.
I'm saying to you, you will not go down.
Amen.
It might be rough, but you will not go down.
Amen.
You may be out of a job for a while, but you will not go down.
Amen.
Things may be bad in your business, but it will not fold up.
Amen.
God will launch you to a higher level, higher than where you are coming from in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord. This season will soon be over for you.
Amen.
The rough season I'm talking about. That rough season will soon be over.
Amen.
And when you come out on the other side, you will come out stronger than ever before.
Amen.
There are wisdom, pieces of wisdom you will never have learned but for this rough season. That's why James said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I want you to count it joy because this season will soon be over.
Amen.
Learn your lessons. This is the word of the Lord again. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Wake up every morning with thanksgiving. Learn your lessons. People will disappoint you. God wants to remove every dependence of flesh from you. Somebody who you were so sure he would give me that 1.5 million. The day you called him, listen, there are two kinds of reasons why he won't give you. One, he's just angry. Two, he doesn't have. Both of them will look the same to you. So you don't know which one is which. So don't be angry. What has just happened is that men have disappointed you so that God can show himself to be the only support that you have.
Yes.
Remember, learn your lessons because God is about to take you to a place bigger than you ever imagined.
Amen.
Listen, the lessons that you are learning now. You know, one man came and said, your minister has made five more. And the Lord said, be in charge of five cities. Where you are going is being in charge of five cities.
Amen.
There are different kinds of lessons you learn. The Bible says there are lessons of obedience you only learn through suffering. That's a matter of fact. He said they learned obedience how? Through the things that he suffered. There are kinds of obedience that you will not learn except you are broke. Before you've been trying to please everybody, it's because you had the money. God has made you broke now. When they say it's Ashebi, before you were buying out of shame, now you can't even use shame to buy it. Why? You are too broke. The last thing you collected, you have not paid. I know why God made sure you are broke, so you won't collect a third one. So after now, you have learned to say no. Say, Ashebi, don't worry. What is the color code? It's white over fuchsia. I have white, I have fuchsia. Don't worry. I will mix it and I will be there. Listen, there's a lesson for you in every adversity.
Amen.
You will not miss your lesson in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I have a word for you again. This season will soon be over.
Amen.
Learn all the lessons. Don't complain. Don't grumble. Go and take a sheet of paper and say, what have I learned in the last 5 months of not having a job? What have I learned in the last 6 months of being broke persistently, perpetually? What have I learned the last 1 year of just managing? Take a sheet of paper. When your lessons are complete, your breakthrough will come. That's a matter of fact. Sometimes, if you don't learn the whole lesson and God still has a breakthrough upon you, he won't give you 100-fold. He'll give you 40-fold, manage it. But if you want the 100-fold, get the 100-fold lessons. Do you get my point? It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said it is well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Goodness will follow you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This week, great doors will open for you.
Amen.
As you travel, safety is your portion.
Amen.
You will return, safety is your portion.
Amen.
I traveled yesterday, drove all the way to Benin, came back safely. That's a testimony.
Yes.
The same will happen for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I said the same will happen for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will be delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
It is well with you and all that concerns you.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Now let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time. This is my season of multiplication and dominion. Now, dash somebody on your left or your right. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Another person.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion.
One more person, please.
This is your season of multiplication and dominion.
All right, cheer up, brethren. Have a blessed week.